This afternoon, the thought that we want to address here is contained in this verse 25. James chapter 1, verse number 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and that is the salvation that the Lord has given us. In John chapter 8, the Lord says, if you're my disciples, you'll continue in my word. And it'll be known that you're my disciples by continuing in my word. And you shall know the truth by my word. I'm adding some things there to help us understand what the Lord is getting at there. And you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Okay? So disciples of the Lord are going to be into his word, this perfect law of liberty. We have been set free from sin, self, and the world, from Satan. We've been set free with knowledge and enlightenment and unction, the Spirit of God dwelling within, salvation of the soul. That is our liberty. We've been set free, made free to serve our Lord, because those that are dead in trespasses and sins cannot. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And so, having been set free, we need to continue in that word, that law of the Lord, that liberality that we have, not a liberality to sin, but a liberality to obey. And he says here, he being not a forgetful hearer. That's our focus for this afternoon. Do not forget. We don't need to forget the things that we've been told, the things that we've been instructed in, the things that we are given to us in the Word of God. As I've mentioned here in recent time, it's sad to say, and no doubt all of us have faced this in our walk with the Lord since the time we've been saved. And we are just that way, being babes in Christ and newborn in the faith. We just don't know some things. We are ignorant of some things. And there's no shame in ignorance unless we pursue to be willfully ignorant. And so ignorance is not a shame in and of itself unless we pursue to be willfully ignorant. And we don't need to be willfully ignorant, but we need to learn what our Lord has given to us in his word. And so here, James, as he writes, the Lord giving this to us, the one that looks in this perfect law of liberty and continuing therein, he being not a forgetful hearer. We don't need to forget. Do not forget. But a doer of the work, because he remembers, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I ask you, if you will, to turn to Matthew chapter 10. Do not forget. There's a prime example in this, and as we take a look at these passages, my purpose is not to run down our brethren, the apostles, but to understand how they were subject to it, and you and I are subject to it, even though it's smack dab in front of our face, okay? So I want you to listen closely what the Lord says to his apostles. I'll make a couple points here as we read through this. And it's a fairly long passage, but I'll read it quickly and make a couple points. And then we'll get on with the thought this afternoon. Matthew 10, verse number 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits. Remember that, power. To cast them out. And to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. All means what? All. Okay? Cast out demons, unclean spirits, and they had power to heal all. All, right? All manner of sickness, all manner of disease. Now, the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, which is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth, commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, do you hear things that they're being told? I mean, there's a list here. There's a list here of points, commands. They're being told, okay? preach. Verse number 8, I want you to hang on to this one. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Now, did you hear that? That's what they were told. We're dealing with the apostles right now, okay? That's what they were told. What did he say? Heal the sick. I don't see the word try anywhere, do you? He says, heal the sick, cleanse lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And in whatsoever city or town ye enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when you are come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than that for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Okay? He didn't say work on it. He said be. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils. They will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. And when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak. Take no thought. For it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And when they persecute you in this city, flee into another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. He will not surpass his master. He will not go above in station above his Lord. That's what he means there. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master. He may come up to that point in regards to the context and the subject at hand, but he will never be above. See, we're the servants. We are told what to do. We will never be in a position of being the master and telling others what to do. Okay, we have been told, we will always be told, and as servants and the children of the Lord, we're expected to obey. Okay, we've seen that here in recent times. It is enough for the disciple to be as his master, you know, taking conforming to the way of the master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, that is Satan, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear not them, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. So here, the 12 apostles, one of them being a devil, one of them not being saved, we see here the equipping of our Lord, and we see here the command of our Lord to them, and information about things that are going to come to pass in the future regarding them. And the Lord just lays it all out plain. And I wanted to read the whole passage that we might understand everything that was given there. And then say, well, Brother Jim, that's sure a whole lot to keep track of. Yeah, you know what? I would pray somebody was taking notes because that's a lot. But you know what? The Lord told them why they need to know these things. Now, do not forget. What is it that Jesus told them there early on? Verse number 7. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Are any of these guys doctors? Not that we know of. Cleanse the lepers. Who could cleanse a leper in that day? Raise the dead. Did you hear that? Jesus told them to go raise the dead. That's people that are dead, not comatose, not swooned away, not in a coma, heart not beating, lungs not doing lung things, all right? Cast out devils. Who do we ever see in the scripture do that other than Jesus? The Lord said, cast them out. Freely you have received, and indeed they have. Have they paid for this? Have they earned this? Have they worked for this? Did they even petition for this? No. They're called and they're equipped by the Lord. He said, you freely received this power, this blessing, this ability. He said, freely ye have received, freely give it out. Okay. So you got that? We're putting our feet in the sandals of the apostles this afternoon. Okay, you got that? Got everything he told you? Got it remembered? You got that under your belt? Got that in your mind? Going to go forward in this way? Again, our job is not to rail on them, but to learn from things at hand. Let's go to Matthew chapter 14. So we come down on here, the Lord's ministering, traveling about, preaching, teaching in households, preaching on hillsides, preaching there off of Gennesaret. He's telling the truth. He's telling the gospel. He's telling about the word of God being fulfilled. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's telling about the need of sinners to repent and believe in the gospel. And he's telling and alluding and making connections such the works that he's come and he's doing, the prolific miracles. I mean, he works a miracle and he works a miracle and he works a miracle, and it hadn't been 2 minutes yet. He just heals. They bring him to him. They heal him. A word goes about and they bring more, and he heals him. He casts out demons. And along the way, we see that he raises the dead, a little girl in Capernaum. A man at Nain that's being taken out to be buried. Ultimately, that of Lazarus, that he allows Lazarus to die and goes there. And Lazarus has done been put in the tomb, wrapped up and put in the tomb. He says, Lazarus, come forth. Okay? So not only have they been told what they've been told, but they have seen what they have seen. And then we come to Matthew 14. Matthew chapter 14, verse number 13. Let's pick it up here at verse number 13. Matthew 14, verse number 13. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place. That means wilderness. Doesn't necessarily mean that there's sand and cactus and howling wind, okay? But it's wilderness. It's not been settled. People don't live there. Apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. So again, the multitude, he's moved with compassion, and everybody that's sick, he heals them. He's a compassionate Savior, a compassionate Lord. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place. This is wilderness, Lord, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, you ready? "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." So Jesus, the leader, their master, says, well, they don't need to go anywhere. Feed them. And do you remember how they were equipped? If somebody could heal leprosy, and you understand how I say this, by the power invested in them, given to them by the Lord, if they could heal leprosy at will when they ran into it, would there anybody be any problem feeding anybody? If they could raise the dead from death, would there be an issue of them feeding anybody? Is there any obstacle here? Well, the only obstacle is forgetting. Forgetting what they had been told. Is Jesus' tone here a tone of optimism or pessimism? Does Jesus say, yeah, it's a pretty sorry situation, isn't it? Yeah, we need to do something else other than what we're doing. Is that Jesus' attitude? Or is Jesus says, they don't need to leave? Well, the disciples think they need to leave. Why? Because in those towns far away from this wilderness area is where the food's at. And there's a whole bunch of them that need to be fed. He said, they don't need to leave. Well, if they don't leave, they're not going to eat. He said, feed them. Feed them. Well, listen to what happens. And they say unto him, We have here but five loaves and two fishes. And so we hear the natural response that I resort to when I forget what I've been told by my Lord. Now understand, we understand that the apostles were a group transition, the transition team, as one brother called them, from this are the keys of the kingdom being taken from Israel and given to his church. The New Testament scriptures are not at hand yet, and you and I have the scriptures. And so the Lord does miracles yet today, but he does not work miraculous miracles through us anymore because we've got the Word of God. We've got what he's told us. He yet works miracles. You and I both know that he has worked miracles. There's been things of our own group and our own number and others that we've known of where the Lord has worked miraculously in things. He answers prayers and he works with his power, but he is not given unto us to work miraculous miracles at will like he did the apostles. Why? Because we've got the Word of God. See, we've got what he has said to us, total and complete. As a brother mentioned recently, we don't have any more than we need. We don't have less than we need. We've got just what we need. Okay? But to them, it was given. They said, well, all we've got is this little dab, Lord. Don't forget. Don't forget what you've been told. Do not forget. He said, bring them hither. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the five loaves and the two fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake. And gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did eat and were filled. Listen. And they took up the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. How many apostles? 12. Now, you know, I don't know about you, but I don't think this is one of those little decorative baskets that the gals use to put flowers in. Maybe like fall decoration or something like that. I'm kind of thinking basket, don't you? It might even be bigger than that. Now, five loaves and two fishes. You think five loaves and two fishes fills up a basket? I don't think five loaves and two fishes fill up a basket. But here at the end, the disciples are left a piece I think, more than they started out with. Don't forget. Do not forget. Do not forget. And Mark, in Mark chapter 6, take a look at this gospel. We read quickly the account. It's the reason we need to read all the gospels, because it gives us details that are not apparent and mentioned in others. Let's read this quickly. Mark 6, verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things both they had done when he had sent them out and what they had taught. Mark 6, 31. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people, when the people saw them departing, and many knew him, ran afoot thither out of all cities and outwent them and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were as sheep having not a shepherd. And so we have that. That's the way the Lord looked on them. They're sheep and they don't have any leadership. They don't have any guide. You know who the guide is? The Lord Jesus. He's the guide. He's the leader. He's the stability. He's the Psalm 23. Amen. If you're saved, the Lord is your shepherd. If you're not saved, you need a shepherd. Because listen, you're doing a lousy job as a shepherd. You need a shepherd that knows what he's doing eternally. He's moved with compassion toward them because they were sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. These people are going to starve, Lord, if we don't get them out of here. We need to do something, and doing something is getting them out of here. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. Feed them. Feed them. He didn't say, feed them if you can. He didn't say, hey, you guys need to kind of think about this and see if you can work something out to feed them. He said, feed them. Give ye them to eat. Listen, here, an element here that we don't see in the other account. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? What we could possibly surmise from this is Judas had the bag, right? He was the treasurer. And they knew how much money they all had together. A penny is a wage from the scriptures for a day, typical in that day. And they had about 200 days worth of stuff in the bag, about a year's worth of work, 2/3 of a year's worth of work. And they said, if we spent every penny we've got, it wouldn't be enough to even touch this number of people that are here. Remember, it was 5,000 men, could be upwards of 15, 20,000 people that were fed. Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? It's kind of like, it's a laugh. We don't have enough money to even get started. We would do well to feed 400 of them or 1,000 of them. And there's gobs of them here. Gobs is kind of close to 20,000. And he said unto them, how many loaves have ye? And go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. Come over here to Luke 9, Luke chapter 9, verse number 10. Luke 9, verse 10. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city of Bethsaida. And so now we know regionally where he was at. And the people, when they knew it, followed him and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said, and so all 12 of them come, not just a few, and said unto him, send the multitude away that they may go into the towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, give ye them to eat, feed them. And they said, We have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. And they were about 5,000 men. He said to his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. Let me come over here to John 6. Again, it's important to read every account and the accounts that parallel in the Gospels that we might get the full understanding of what the Lord has given us in His Word. In John 6, we have a parallel account here. We read it in verse number 1 of John 6. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed Him because they saw His miracles which He did on them and that were diseased, some by ship, some going around. They kind of estimated which way He was going, and they ran ahead on the land, like it said in other passages. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. So we know the time of the year, springtime. When Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company coming to Him, He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? This He said to prove him, for He Himself knew what He would do. So here we see that the Lord's at work with this situation, and He's looking to prove His apostles. He's looking to put them to the test. Do not forget. Do not forget. They forgot how they'd been empowered, didn't they? They forgot what the Lord told them. He said, freely you have received, freely give. I'm of the opinion that the Lord given them the power to raise the dead, heal the lepers, heal the sick, preach the gospel, that they could have taken the food that they had and they could have prayed unto the Father and broke it up and fed them just as the Lord commanded them to do. But instead, they looked to themselves and they forgot what they had been told. We'll continue on and we'll see. Verse number 7, let's go ahead and read this. And Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them. We've seen that about the money, that every one of them may take a little. You can't feed this multitude even with a year's worth of wage in bread, much less being able to find that much bread to buy at one time. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here that's got the 5 barley loaves and the 2 small fishes. So we see it's just one little fella that's got the food. And so the Lord told him to sit down and fed the 5,000 men plus to their full. So then that's what we saw in Matthew 14. And then we come over here to Matthew 15, just by the way we estimate it, pretty short time. Wonder what they did with the 12 baskets, a basket apiece. They started off individually more than what they started off with. They ended up individually more than they had when they started. They forgot what they'd been told. They forgot about the empowerment that the Lord had given to them. And they did not hear what the Lord says. Feed them. You feed them. See, the Lord told them, you feed them. And they looked to their wallet. And they looked to themselves. And they looked to what was available there around them. Rather than looking to what they'd been told. How they'd been empowered. How they had been commissioned as the Lord's apostles. So in short time here, in the next chapter, Matthew chapter 15, we come to verse number 32. Then Jesus calls His disciples unto Him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with Me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And His disciples say unto Him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? They forgot again, didn't they? Again, we're not railing on them. Because we know that they are representative of us, representative of me. I forget so fast. Oh, let us not forget. And Jesus said unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7, and a few little fishes. And He commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. You know what I think the Lord's operating here? He's operating an example. He said, you're my apostles, chosen of my disciples. You are here to represent me. And here's what I would do. It's what you need to do. I've equipped you to do it. And so he has them sit down. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them and gave to his disciples and disciples to the multitude. And they did eat and were filled. We're not talking about everybody taking a little piece of fish, a little piece of bread and kind of tough it out. But everybody was full like you were Thursday. Right? Right, Brother Mark? Over there with Mom and Dad, we had first meal, second meal, and third meal. I was about to pop. That's the way they were. They were filled. And they took up the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets full. So 5 apostles didn't have to bear a basket. They're saying, you carry it. You get it. You pick it up. And they saw it again. 7 of them had in a basket more than they'd started off with to start with. They forgot what they had been told, didn't they? And they that did eat were 4,000 men beside women and children. Could have been 8,000. Probably was 12,000, maybe 16,000 people. Again, we would say impossible, but not with the Lord. Not with what the Lord had given them and empowered them and equipped them with. So now we come to what I've labeled and entitled the ultimate test. It said over there in John that the Lord knew what he was doing because he did this to prove him. Does the Lord prove us about what we remember about what he's told us? Indeed, if he tests the apostles, he tests us. Do we, when we were faced with trouble and danger and all that, you know how I say what's natural with us is when in danger or in doubt, run in circles, scream and shout, right? That's what's natural for us. But the Lord has told us some things. He has given us some things. And I need to remember these things. And so now for our brethren here, again, we're not railing on them. We're learning from them. The Lord's given us this in the scripture. Listen to what the Lord says. There's a subject here, but woven in this subject is the information that we're after. In Matthew chapter 16, we pick it up in verse number 5. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Okay, they didn't bring any lunch. They didn't have any bread. And then they're going on the Sea of Galilee again. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So that's a statement that's made. The Lord's there on the boat and he says, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And he's just looking out over the water. And they reason among themselves, saying, it's because we didn't bring any bread, right? Forgot lunch. Philip, you were supposed to go get something. I forgot to go get it. Well, why didn't you go get it, Thomas? I thought Philip got it. We didn't bring any bread. That's the reason he's talking about leaven. Which when Jesus perceived and said unto them, O ye of little faith. Little faith in what? Little faith in him and what he had told them. Why reason ye among yourselves? Because ye have brought no bread? Are you reasoning about yourselves because you didn't bring any bread? You think that's what I'm talking about, is you didn't bring enough for lunch? They'd forgot. Do ye yet not understand, neither remember the five loaves of the 5,000? Don't you remember that? And how many baskets you took up, which how many was it? 12. Neither you don't remember the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets you took up, how many baskets they took up? 7. How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Here, interwoven in this about the Lord warning them about the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, sects of the Jews that had taken the commandments and traditions of men and set them above the commandment of God. Like the Lord Jesus, they challenged the Lord Jesus, said, "Why are your disciples transgressing the tradition of the fathers by not eating after they wash their hands?" And the Lord Jesus says, "Why do you transgress the commandment of God by following the traditions of your fathers?" And then he gave them examples of that. Jesus is talking about, look out for the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Look out for their way. And he reminds them, is bread an issue here? Is bread an issue if I'm here? Is bread an issue in how I've equipped you and commissioned you and what I've told you back in Matthew chapter 10? Is bread an issue? Food is not an issue, is it? He makes it very clear. Food, but not bringing any bread, Thomas forgetting it and Philip forgetting it, is not an issue. Because you know what? The Lord, even they, as they've been equipped, can make something to eat out of nothing or out of little by the power of God. We go over here to this in Mark chapter 8. Let's take a look over here at this same account. Mark chapter 8, verse number 14. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod." So we have something different mentioned here. The doctrine of the Pharisees, the doctrine of the Sadducees, we saw over in Matthew, and then the doctrine of Herod also. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have no bread. We didn't bring enough to eat for lunch and supper." And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, "Why reason ye, because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened?" Oh, may our hearts not be hardened against what we've been told. We can hear what the Lord says plain and straight to us, obey in this, don't disobey in that. And we can, in the hardness of our heart, say, "Well, I've got the justification to where that is just going to be overruled in my life." I tell you what, don't go there. If the Lord's commanded it and it's plain and straight, we best line up with it and follow it. Because listen, if the apostles are subject to harden their heart, you and I are too. If the apostles are subject to be blind, whether willful or ignorantly, to the word of the Lord, you and I are subject to it too. This is in here for us. He says, "Perceive ye yet neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened?" You want to have a hard heart before your Lord? May the Lord help us. We not have a hard heart. You know, the Lord can tell us something plain and straight, and we just say, "No, I want what I want rather than what he's telling me." Let's avoid that. "Having eyes, see ye not," verse 18, "and having ears, hear ye not?" Listen. "And do ye not remember?" Title of the message, do not forget. "Do ye not remember? When I break the 5 loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up?" And they said, "We had 12. He says, "Bread an issue here? Is food an issue here? Am I talking about food? Food's not an issue. Remember, 5,000 men, maybe 20,000 people by the time you had the women and the children to it. Was there an issue with food?" No, there was no issue with food. "You remember when I was proving you?" Because that's what it said in John 6. "And you look to yourselves rather than looking to how I had equipped you. And when the 7 among 4,000, the 7 loaves among 4,000, verse 20, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up?" And they said, "We took up 7. So he called them to remember what had happened. And he said unto them, "How is it that you do not understand? Do not forget. Well, how about do not forget what you and I have been told? Amen. Let us not forget what we've been told. Our brethren did so, and the Lord called them on it. And the way that they were empowered, they certainly could have fed the 5,000, couldn't they? Jesus told them to. But they were so blind, so hard of heart, so looking to self and what they could work with their own hands. When the Lord said, feed the 4,000, there'd have been no problem for them to feed the 4,000, would there? I mean, they'd been given power to raise the dead. If you can raise the dead at will, heal the lepers, heal the sick at will, according and in the power of the Lord as he has given it, would there be any problem with feeding such a multitude? Not at all. But they forgot. And may we not forget what we have been told. The Lord's not going to tell us to feed 5,000 or 4,000 or even 100 that way, although at some of the fellowship meetings that we've hosted, the Lord has stretched the food. The ladies will testify to that. But it wasn't by me getting out there and praying the Lord. We were praying when it was the word was spread around. We were praying that the Lord would stretch it out, and he did. But it wasn't going to be by the hand of any person. It wasn't going to be in the way that the Lord Jesus did or the apostles should have done it. The Lord does work miracles, but again, he doesn't work in point miraculous miracles in that way because we have the Word of God. And see, you hear that? We have all that we have been told. Let us not be ignorant of it. Let us not be willfully ignorant of it. And let us remember what we have been told. Do not forget what you and I have been told.